Now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What?
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is Let the Market Decide. Each of my guests is discussing how the market decides success and failure. My next guest knows what it takes to succeed more than once in the crowded book publishing marketplace. He's the 9-time best-selling author of both fiction and nonfiction books. We'll discuss what it takes to write a bestseller and the changing book industry landscape. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. Michael Levin is the author of 9 national bestsellers published by such distinguished publishers as Simon & Schuster and Putnam Berkeley. One of Michael's books, Making Jack Falcone, with FBI agent Joaquin Garcia, appeared on 60 Minutes. Paramount, Disney, HBO, and ABC television networks have optioned his books for movies or for television. Michael Levin is an Amherst College graduate and a Columbia Law School trained attorney. He's married, has 4 children, and lives in Orange County, California. He runs 3 Boston marathons since the year 2005, and in 2010, he ran the New York City Marathon as a guide runner for a disabled runner. And he's completed several dozen long-distance races as well as triathletes. Michael is an 11-gallon man, meaning that he's donated more than 90 units of blood to the American Red Cross. Welcome to the show, Michael. How are you today?
Hey, great. Billy, I was good till you read all that stuff. I listened to that story about me, and I'm kind of tired. I think I need a nap.
Yeah, well, you have done a lot in your short lifetime, I will say that. But believe me, this is nothing more than your set of accomplishments just laid to paper. So there you go.
Very kind.
Welcome to the show. Appreciate it. So you hold the distinction for being the most successful person that nobody listening to my show knows. You've got 9 best-selling books. That's quite an accomplishment. So tell me, how'd you make the transition from a Columbia-trained attorney to best-selling author?
Billy, I kept failing the bar, and I kept getting fired. I'd like to say it was a little more romantic than that, but all I ever wanted to do with my life was write books. And like a lot of your listeners, I'm sure, I shoehorned myself into a career that wasn't right for me because I figured I've got to make a living, and I didn't know how to make a living as a writer. And the legal community essentially made its decision for me and basically said, kid, we don't want you here. And I had no choice but to get busy writing because I really have no other marketable skills.
Well, let's go back to that desire to be a writer. What prompted or sparked your desire to be a writer, do you think?
Oh, my gosh. It was when my dad was reading to me when I was a 5-year-old boy. I was either Winnie the Pooh or Ask Mr. Bear. And I think I'm not alone. I think a lot of people fall in love with a book, and then they say to themselves, oh, my gosh, somebody wrote this thing. I want to be that person. And I had that experience when I was a little kid, and I've never really looked back.
Now, in college and in high school, did you write short stories? Did you enter contests? Did you have any success leading up to Columbia Law School?
You know, a little bit in small ways. Did I enter any contests? New York Magazine had a competition, and you'd send stuff in, and I won in that. And I had letters published when I was in junior high and high school in Time and Newsweek and the New York Times. And you see your own name and your own words in print, and you say to yourself, hey, maybe I can make this happen. And then I sold a couple of opinion pieces to the New York Times right after I graduated college and then started writing books and was kind of off and running. So it's really about the doing of it as opposed to the dreaming of it. Dreaming's terrific, but then you really just, you know, the secret of writing is putting your behind in a chair. It's that simple.
Well, that is true. We're talking to Michael, everybody, and he is a best-selling author of 9 books. Many of my listeners have never written or even published a book, and for you, obviously, Michael, it is a career. It's a job. So tell us, what does the job consist of on a day-to-day basis?
Oh, that's a great question. People say, Michael, do you ever get a writer's block? And I say, no, I have writer's mortgage. So for me, it's really, it's a job in the sense that I have office space that I rented, I have an assistant, I have people who work with me, and what I do all day long is I sell because most writers are allergic to the concept of business, but you cannot be that way. You have to know, I just came out of a sales training meeting, I'm the only writer guy in there, but shame on other writers for not being there too. So I'm selling deals to people, I'm servicing clients the same way any other entrepreneur or business would. But the product that I offer is a little different. It is a book, and so I'll have a bunch of different books in various stages of completion at any one time. But I'm just sort of moving from project to project, interview to interview, just following my to-accomplish plan every day, and you know, trying to keep on top of things.
Well, Michael, tell us about some of the books that you've got in progress right now, if you're free to do that. I don't know if there's any confidentiality, but what are you working on, fiction, nonfiction? What are some of the subject matters you're tackling?
I can tell you a little about the subject matter. I'm doing a screenplay for a business guy who is Chinese, and we're doing a thing about business and Chinese culture and where things are going in China and the United States, and that's kind of fun. Gosh, I just signed a deal with two major radio stars, and we're going to do a book for them. I've got a book with Chris Myers on NASCAR that's coming out pretty soon that actually, excuse me, I'm publishing. And I've got some memoirs going on and a bunch of business books. The primary thing my business does is that we write business books. The company's called Business Ghost, and it's businessghost.com. The primary thing we do is write business books for businesses that want to distinguish themselves in crowded marketplaces where people are judging them by price. So those are some of the things I've got going on right now.
All right, we're talking to Michael Levin, everybody. And part of your business, as you just said, is ghostwriting for other people. Most people listening to the sound of our voice don't really understand or know what a ghostwriter does on a day-to-day basis. So kind of pull back the curtain, if you will, please, and reveal some of the things, the roles that you have as a ghostwriter for some of these famous people.
Oh, sure. The first thing is this, that people who are successful and busy don't have time to write their own books. They may not have the inclination. They may not have the ability. They're great at what they do. So they'll bring in someone like me, and my first job is to formulate what the book should be, because anybody could write any book, but how do you know you're writing the right or best book? So we'll work through what's the purpose of the book, who are the readers, what action do you want the readers to take as a result of reading the book? Do you want them to hire you? Do they want them to buy more products or services from you? And so on. And then after that, I'll spend an hour a week on the phone with my clients, or someone on my team will spend an hour on the phone. And in that hour, they'll do a download. They'll just sort of do a file dump of everything they've ever known, thought, believed, suspected, case studies, war stories about the next chapter that they're in the book. 2 weeks later, they have that chapter in their inbox. So over the course of any given day, I'll have a few hours of interviews on the phone with clients, and those will be translated into chapters that the client will then review. And if it's a 12-chapter book, then 13 weeks after we start, the client has the entire book in his or her hands, and then we edit and we clean it up and do whatever we need to do, and then we get into production, and they've got a book. So my job is everything from organizing and interviewing, writing, and then rewriting, and where appropriate, publishing and marketing the book.
Well, you make it sound so easy, Michael, but in reality, everybody knows it's not as easy as you've just made it sound in that brief answer, because part of a great book, whether it's a fiction book or a nonfiction book, is being able to tell stories. So tell me, with famous people, let's just use Jack Welch as an example. I don't know if he's one of your clients, but I know Jack Welch didn't write his book, you know, as much as I want to believe he did. But how do you coax the great, compelling stories out of these very famous, very busy, very harried people?
Yeah, it's a matter of trust. And the thing the listeners should know is that virtually no nonfiction book that they've ever read has been written by its author. I'm not talking about books by college professors. I just mean any business book, any sports book, any book on cooking, any book on relationships. There was either a ghost or a co-writer. A ghostwriter, somebody who just didn't get cover credit. Co-writer does. That's the only distinction there. But basically, my job is to listen with love, and that's really the key thing that I do. I'm a better listener than I am a writer. I'm a good writer. I'm a better listener. And for a lot of my clients, they succeeded wildly, Billy, because they never had the encouragement from their parents. And they kind of went into I'll show you mode, and then they go out there and they conquer the world, and the parent still doesn't care. And a lot of them relate to me as if I were the dad who never, who finally gives them the love and the respect that they wanted. And what I find is that when I make an emotional connection with my client, and it really is that almost a parental thing, I'm just proud of what they've accomplished, and nobody else has ever told them that without wanting something from them, they open up and they give me the great stories, because they can tell I'm listening. I like to say I'm listening with love, and that's kind of the unique strength of Business Ghost, is that we listen with love, and that's how we're able to then we don't have to coax anything. People, they can't wait to tell us. They can't wait to tell us the great stuff.
Wow. We're talking to Michael Levin, everybody, 9-time best-selling author and CEO of Business Ghost, a ghostwriting company. Let me just shotgun some names at you, people that I know you have ghostwritten books for. You mentioned a couple already, but I'm going to shotgun at you Pat Summerall, the famous kicker for the New York Giants. Tell us about what it was like working with Pat.
Oh, my gosh. If you love football, imagine that your job consists of speaking to Pat Summerall for 2.5 hours a week, 3 hours a week, just talking 50s football and talking about Lombardi and Landry, who were his coaches. We did a book called Giants about the two coaches that he had, Lombardi and Landry. He's a gentleman. He's as nice as can be. And it is eerie because the voice that you know so well from all those NFL broadcasts is on the other end of the line. So it's just an awesome experience.
Oh, that's got to be disquieting and also very exhilarating at the same time. Exactly. All right, famous baseball player Dave Winfield.
Dave is a gentleman. He called me about 6 months after we finished our book together, and he said, you know, you're not just my writer, you're my friend. And I was really blown away by that. We've remained in touch. He calls once in a while to see how I'm doing. We have lunch. Dave is a thinker. I would give him a manuscript with, let's say, 60,000 words in it, and he comes back with another 8,000 words in the smallest handwriting you've ever seen. And Dave has the most enormous height to handwriting a ratio of any human being on earth.
That's well said. All right, so that we don't continue down the sports vein, let me throw another name at you. Jack Garcia. He's the number one FBI undercover agent of all time. What was it like working with him?
Oh, it was absolutely fascinating. Every day he's taking me inside the experience of being an FBI agent in the Gambino crime family, masquerading as a team member for the Gambinos. And what that was like while working four other major undercover cases at the same time. And at one point I said to him, hey, Jack, what does the mob do to co-writers? And he laughed and he said, ha, two to the back of the head. So that was never dull.
Oh, I bet not. And a little bit frightening for you and your family as well.
For a few moments, yes.
We're talking to Michael Levin, everybody, 9-time best-selling author. I guess we're going to come back to sports. Some authors that I've had on my show before, Jackie and Doug Christie. Doug Christie, of course, played basketball. What was it like working with them?
They're very lovely people, and Doug was an NBA star, and your listeners who are not sports fans may find this strange, but Doug was notorious for being faithful to his wife, which is in direct contrast to the bad boy image the NBA promotes. And as a result, he was never in favor with a lot of the teams, despite his extraordinary skills. If you remember him with the Sacramento Kings against the Lakers in all those years, fabulous, fabulous player. And they needed a book to dispel the notion that they were kind of a wacky couple because they were committed to each other. And they do a lot of real estate for low-income families in the Seattle area. They needed a book that would show, hey, you know something? We are regular people, and we're faithful, and that doesn't mean we're crazy. Just in the under the lens of the NBA, we get a bad rap. But so it's a privilege. You know, it's a privilege to work with people who have accomplished at the highest levels because they think differently. They see things differently from the rest of us. And learning how successful people think is one of the greatest things about running Business Ghost.
Ooh, well said. Well said, Michael. Now, I'm going to ask you to sort of take a step back and take a look at the publishing industry. I've known you for more than a decade. And during that time, in what ways has the publishing industry really changed, in your opinion?
Billy, it died. It went over the cliff. The publishing industry is General Motors without the bailout. I'm beginning to think that books are almost dead in our society. And that's because Barnes & Noble is going to go away within a few years. Borders is going away. Amazon is destroying bookstores. It's destroying browsing. When you go in and you buy one book in one section, then you go look at other things. Publishers used to have a hammer lock on marketing and distributing books. They no longer do because through self-publishing, you can put out your own book. And with Google AdWords and the Internet in general, you can target your niche market. You don't need them. So I really cannot believe that publishing is basically going the way of Tower Records. They've had years to figure out what to do about the Internet. They've never figured it out. Their model is dying. People are not happy paying for information because there's so much on the Internet. I don't think books, the way they're published in New York, are a sustainable product anymore. And that's trouble for my industry, you'd think. But the reality is that because that happens, because people are no longer buying or reading as many books, the fact that a client of mine comes to Business Ghost and gets a book done, and that person has a book, that person looks like even more like an authority than ever before. So So paradoxically, the collapse of the book industry is good for my business.
Well, that's interesting. And let me just challenge you here, Michael, for a second, if I can, please, because very strong words. The publishing industry is dying. It's like the car industry without the bailouts. Very funny line. I've written that down. However, that being said, there were more books published last year than ever before. I think the number approached 300,000 new books that were published. That's in addition to the 3 million books that are already in print today. So if book publishing is dying, how come the numbers of new titles coming out is so extraordinarily high?
Well, these are the last throes of a collapsing industry. The real question is how many of those books had active marketing behind them? And the answer is 0.01%. How many books actually made money for their publishers or their authors? Practically none. There is almost no money to be made in book publishing, I believe, with the exception of knowing how to pick, say, 5, 10, 15 smart, intelligently chosen books a month. I'm sorry, not a month, a quarter or a year. Yet the major publishers will spend fortunes publishing large numbers of books, increasingly large numbers of books, and doing nothing to market them. I could go on and on, but the bottom line is that the publishing industry is almost juvenile in the way it spends money and the way it fails to market its products, and they're going to pay the price. You see a lot of empty Tower Records stores still in the landscape, and before long, all the Barnes & Nobles that we know and love will be Whole Foods or Bed Bath & Beyond, simply because the industry is unsustainable.
Wow, we're talking to Michael Levin, everybody, 9-time bestseller and CEO of Business Ghost. And in that discussion of the failing book industry, Michael, you didn't really mention the ebook readers that are out there, the iPad, the Kindle, just to mention too. What role do you see them playing in reading, and will they be the savior of reading, especially among young people?
No, they won't be. They're not going to be the savior of reading simply because our attention spans have diminished so radically that today we want the answer now. We want to look at the first two pages of a website, maybe, and get the answer, and that's it. And if we don't see the answer on one website, we immediately jump to the other. So we no longer have the attention span or even the need, quite frankly, for a book of 200, 300 pages. In the future, the authors who succeed will be the ones who are able to summarize all of their points that they would have taken 300 pages to, say, down to 20 pages and put it together with graphics and music and a chat feature, a community forum. The reality is that on the internet we do not like to pay for information, and it's very, very hard to get anybody to pay for information. The New York Times is about to try it again. Good luck to them. The reality is that once you get information on the internet, people think they shouldn't have to pay for it, and if they are moving from books that you buy in a bookstore where the model is you cannot steal it from the store, you have to pay for it, to the model of you can, it's going to iPads and Kindles and information online ought to be free, people are going to stop paying for it. This is a dire prediction, but you heard it here first.
All right. We're talking to Michael Levin, everybody, 9-time bestseller. And Michael, shameless plug for our second hour of the show. We're going to have Vanessa Fox coming on talking about marketing in the age of Google. She was with Google for a number of years, and we'll talk about that short attention span when we speak with her. But let me ask you, in the minute or so that we've got remaining, what advice would you give to somebody listening who wants to author and maybe even publish their own book?
Well, very simply, if I may be equally shamelessly self-serving, call me. The website is businessghost.com. I coach writers, and I make people's books happen quickly and easily. The simplest thing, if you're going to do it by yourself, very simply, is this. Ask yourself, what niche do you want to serve? Niche equals rich. So the question is, what readership do you want to serve with your book? What action do you want them to take as a result of having read your book or seen your book or just seen it on the internet? And finally, what body of knowledge in your head, if the reader knew you knew all that, what body of knowledge would convince that specific niche readership to take that specific action? Make that the focus of your book, and you'll be good.
All right. We've been talking to Michael Levin, everybody, head of Business Ghost and also a 9-time bestseller here in the United States. Michael, if people wanted to learn more about you, you've mentioned your website. Would you give them your website and maybe your telephone number again, please?
I'd be delighted to. It's businessghost.com, and the number toll-free is 800-637-6856.
All righty. Michael, thank you so much. It's a pleasure, as always, to speak with you. Thanks for being a guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Billy, thank you so much. It's my pleasure.